John chapter 17. I quoted the bird in a bulletin is worth reading. William Grinnell, or Grinnell, however you want to pronounce his name, is a preacher in the 17th century. Wrote one book. That thick. It was fine print. All on the armor of God, Ephesians 6. It's the only book he ever wrote. Best book on the Christian warfare you'll ever read, next to Scripture itself. If you never got it, I encourage you to. They do have it in modern English now, but it is a very challenging, in-depth book on the Christian warfare, which we have today, as always, fiercely against us. John chapter 17, verse 14 through 17. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not thou shouldest take them out of the world. Amazing, strange how he would say that. Take them out of the world. Don't take them out of the world. A lot of Christians would like to be taken out of the world because they don't want to suffer persecution for the cross. And without being rude, some should be, for bringing shame to the cross. Take them not out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Protect them, preserve them from the evil. Not just the evil in the world, but the evil one who rules the world, which is Satan. Keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Twice now he says that. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them, consecrate them, make them holy, separate them through the truth. Thy word is truth. Pray the Lord bless the reading of His Word. You know, though Christ declares that the world will hate us for our love and devotion to God's Word and our oneness with Christ, yet He would not have the Father take us out of the world, but keep us from the evil. Many times Christians ask the question, why do I suffer the things I do? Why is my life full of hardship and trouble and persecution and affliction? Wouldn't it be much better to be out of this world and be with Christ? Oh, it would be. Paul said that. But that's not the life Christ has called us to in this world. As true believers, we're not called to a life of luxury and self-indulgence, but one of service, of consecration, and persecution. That's the life we've been called to as Christians. Our Lord said Himself in John 13 and 15, He said, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent, He says He's sending in verse 18, neither he that is sent than he that sent Him. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. John 13, 16 and John 15, 20. Lord said the world's going to hate them because they're not of the world. And they love your word. They're devoted to your word. And even though that's going to happen, I don't want you to take them out of it. I have a purpose for them in the world. Just like you had a purpose in sending me, Father, I'm going to send them with a purpose. I don't want to take them away from that. I want them as me to go back into that same world that I went into, and I want them to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, of me. I want them to serve me. I want them to be consecrated. I want them to do the work I call them to. For as you sent me into the world, even so, I have sent them. Like Christ, who is not of the world. We too, dearly beloved, listen to me, are not of the world. We're not of the world. I'd like to holler that out through this, through every radio and TV broadcast this morning to everyone who professes Christ. We're not of the world. And if we're not of the world, then let us stop acting like the world. Let us stop following the world. Let us stop doing the things the world does. We're not like the world. And beloved, it is our unlikeness with the world and our likeness to Christ which alone brings light and hope into this darkened world of sin. The only way we can help this world which is lieth in wickedness, the only way we can help sinners in darkness is to be not like them. That's such a vital, important message today in this generation where so many churches are beginning to be like the world. They're conforming to the world. They're doing the things the world do. The only way we can help them, and that's what we're here for, not just to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, that's part of it, but it's to preach the gospel. It's to serve Christ. And the only way we can help them is not be like them. But the world, the church today, thinks we need to be more like them that we might win them. Let's offer them entertainment, like we spoke of in Sunday school about evangelism. Let's offer them entertainment. Let's do the things they do. Let's look like them. Because the ends justify the means. But that's not what Christ said. Christ said the only way that you're going to help the world is to go into the world like I went into the world and be different. Don't be like the world. Many churches today and Christians today can't fathom that. I see Christians today, I'm sure as you as well, and working on the internet and everything else, post things about God, then they'll post some article that's got curse words and foul mouth and foul language, and I'm going, what you just posted about Christ is all gone now. Because the world's saying, see, in 1 minute you say Christ, the next minute you talk with the same filthy language I do. What's the difference between you and me? You're not any different. You're the same. We're not the same. And our being unlike the world is the world's only hope. The churches used to believe that. Tozer. Don't agree with everything he wrote. Some of it I do. Wrote this, listen to this, years ago. He says, and I quote, modern churches hope to save the world by being like it. But it will never work. The church's power over the world spring out of her unlikeness to it. Never from her integration into it. End of quote. You want to help people that are suffering? Don't be like them. Don't think if you kind of bring yourself to their level and live like they do and talk like they do that you're going to win their favor and you'll be able to tell them about Christ. That is not biblical. That is not true. We have to be unlike the world. And this truth is clearly revealed in our Lord's petition in John chapter 17 in our behalf. He said the world's going to hate them. Because they love me and they love your word, but don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. And that by sanctifying them through thy truth, thy word is truth. In verse 17. He said, sanctify them. Actually, he says it twice, 17 and 19. I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified. Twice he said they're not of the world. Twice he said, Father, they need to be sanctified. Why? Because we're different. Sanctify means to make holy. To separate. To consecrate. Set apart. And he says, Father, do that through thy word. Through thy word. You know what? Believe in this book. Being devoted to this book is what makes us different than the world. I am so frustrated and upset, angry, heartbroken, all those emotions together, when I see people who profess Christ and yet they've lost their hope in the sufficiency of God's Word. That something else has to take place. Something else has to be added to the book. Nothing has to be added to this book. Satan knows that. Look at that quote from Grinnell. The very first question in the Scriptures came from Satan. And it was questioning God's Word and character. Yea, hath God said. And he ain't quit yet. If he can get us to doubt in the sufficiency and power of God's Word, he's already won the battle. Christ says, no, I want to send them out in the world, but I want to send them out in the world sanctified, separated, consecrated, holy. You say, preacher, that's the opposite of the world. The Bible says it lieth in wickedness. Exactly. So why are so many Christians wanting to be like the world? It's our being different that makes the difference. Beware lest any man spoil you, Paul said in Colossians. Listen to this, spoil you. He's talking to Christians. You know, we get saved and we believe all the bewares in the New Testament doesn't apply to us because now I'm saved in Christ. So it's talking about other people. No, it's talking to us. It says, beware lest any man spoil you. That means deceive you, seduce you. Spoil you through what? Through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. After the rudiments, that means the principles of the world, and not after Christ. In other words, Paul says, people are going to try to spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after traditions of men, after the principles of the world. And that exactly right there describes most Christians and most churches. We want to make a difference in this world. We want to make a difference in this community. We have to be unlike them. You say, but preacher, that's going to bring a lot more persecution. That's what the Lord said. I've given thy word and the world hateth them. Because they're not of the world. That sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? How can I help somebody who hates me? When Christ came into this world, whether it's true or not, but whether Christ came to the world, most historians say it was the worst time in the history of mankind. Sin was at its peak. That's why you have so many demon possessions when Christ was here. One reason why you have so many demon possessions when Christ was here is because Christ showed up. And Satan came out of hiding. And exposed himself, tried to beat the Son of God. All makes sense to me. But he came when nobody accepted him. His own didn't accept him. John chapter 1. Is the servant greater than the master? Even Paul in his last days, he said, all men have forsaken me. I was looking at the other day and I said, Lord, you know, the ministry can be an awful lonely place. I read Paul and I said, yeah. That doesn't change the fact that the world has no hope if we're like them. We have to be different. We have to be more like Christ. We have to have a love and devotion to God's Word that makes us different if we're ever going to help them. Will everybody receive that? Embrace that? Of course not. The Lord said Himself, the world, does that mean every single person? No, but the majority of the world will probably hate us for it. But there's always some people out there. God has His people out there. There's always somebody out there that God is going to open their eyes and hearts to, and they're going to listen. But like we said, or read in Sunday school, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach if they're not sent? There exists today amongst those who profess Christ, unfortunately, a spirit, be it ever so small, but it's present, of doubt and uncertainty in the sufficiency and power of God's Word and the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Many Christians today don't trust the Gospel. Well, preacher, we need to have methodology. We need to do things. Like we said earlier in Sunday school, we need to entertain them. We need to change the way the church. Church needs to change with the culture. We need to be more like them. We need to offer something that will be appealing to them. And even Christians are beginning to lose their faith and their confidence in the preaching of the gospel. You know, it's the power of God unto salvation, unto all who believe. What's the church need, preacher? We need to get back to preaching the gospel. Faith in the Word of God, loving Christ. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, he said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." You ever think about that verse? They will not endure sound doctrine? 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. That means they once embraced it. He's talking about somebody who once embraced it. They don't endure it. They can't hold on to it. They can't sustain it. In other words, at one time they embraced it. But now they're not enduring it. But after their own lust, opinions, or feelings. Oh, how many times in the last month I've talked to people who said, "Well, I know the Bible says it, but I just feel this is the right thing to do." Doesn't matter how we feel. Vain philosophies, traditions of men. Solo scriptura. Only scripture. One of the five solos of the Reformation. If you don't know all five, you need to look it up. The solos of Reformation. One of them, the main ones, the first one, the most important, I believe, or the pinnacle of them, they're all important, is only Scripture. "But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth." Didn't our Lord just say, "Sanctify them through thy truth," or "through the truth? Thy word is truth"? They're turning their ears away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Storytelling. So many things are going on in the churches today. I'm hesitant calling them churches. Letting lesbians and homosexuals and transgenders in the pulpit. Women in the pulpit, unbiblical. It's not right. Church is just nodding to it, condoning it. We can't help the world if we're like them. And the reason we're so unlike them is because we're sanctified through the truth. This book. But watch what, go to 2 Timothy, I want you to see this for yourself, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Watch what Paul says after that to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Well, look at verse 4 as he ends this. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Watch what he tells Timothy, listen. "But watch thou in all things." Be careful, Timothy. You're a preacher of the word. "Watch thou in all things. Be very careful, preacher. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry." You notice how "endure afflictions" begins that exhortation? "But watch thou in all things, Timothy. Endure afflictions." You know, these afflictions are not those which come with the preaching of the gospel from the world. If you'll keep it in context, Paul saying these afflictions I'm talking about you need to endure is coming from the church. From those who don't endure doctrine. They're going to persecute you for that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, when it talks about perilous times, I've mentioned this before, that's not in the world, it's in the church. "Men shall be lovers of themselves, boasters, covetous, so forth and so on. Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, you need to preach the word because you're going to have to endure afflictions from those who despise you preaching it. See, I can't believe that would happen. Paul said, all men have forsaken me. They were afraid to stand up for Paul when he was facing Nero in Rome. They didn't want to stand up to help him. Persecution made him run off. Paul said, they all forsake me. Christ on the cross, where were his disciples? He said, you shall all forsake me. Love, the world's coming to point, and I've been saying this for years, and it's coming to it. It is there already, where people are going to have to make a decision. Either we live for Christ or we live for the world. Stop sitting on the fence. Where are we as Christians? Either we're in or we're out. You can't straddle the fence. Not anymore. We've got to be able to make a difference. We have so many people around us that are lost and dying without Christ. And the rate of conversions in this area are very few. It's going to take a church that wants to break out of the mold that everybody else is, the complacency, and really want to do something if we're going to make a difference. But we can't be complacent. And it's not going to be easy. Because as soon as you and I determine that we're going to serve Christ, that we're going to reach out to those that are lost, we're going to be devoted to God's Word, devoted to Christ, I guarantee you Satan's going to show up and go, you know what? I'm going to show you just how determined you are. And I'm going to show you, you ain't got the dedication. You ain't got the endurance. Spurgeon said, I believe it was Spurgeon, there's something comforting knowing the devil is my adversary. You want Berkus Baptist Church to be a light? You want us to be able to make a difference in this community, in this world? We're all going to have to roll up our sleeves spiritually and go to work. No more being observers, no more complacency, no more content with just coming to church on Sundays. We're going to have to get up spiritually. We're going to have to go to work. And let me tell you something, though it's persecution and affliction with it, it's the greatest work we'll ever do in this lifetime. Because there's no better cause than the cause of Christ. Christ said, they're not of the world. Don't take them out. Sanctify them through thy truth. Why? Because as you sent me, I don't have time this morning, but he says, as you sent me, even so send I them. Christ has sent us on a mission. What he started when he came here in the flesh and what he finished on Calvary, he says, you're not equal with me in the mission, but it's alike what I'm doing. He saves, but he says, now you take that message of the cross that I've given you. You take that message of the cross to a lost and dying world and you tell them. You tell them there's mercy to be found. There's grace to be found. There's forgiveness to be having. But you got to repent and turn from your sins, because if you don't, there's a day of judgment coming. Paul in Acts has said to open the eyes of those that are blind that they might see. One of the greatest works in the world for a Christian. One of the greatest privileges for the Christian, one of the greatest privileges for the church, is to be a light where sinners can find refuge and salvation in Christ. we want to do that, it's going to take some work. And I hope and pray that we all are willing and ready to do that. Because that's what we need in this darkened age, in this community, in this county. That's what this church needs. I believe a lot what Spurgeon said. We mentioned it in Sunday school about a church. Without the conversions of souls, a church will eventually die. You know, I found out in my 30 years of being a pastor, the only way to get a real burden for sinners is to get real close to Christ and ask Him to reveal unto us what drove Him into the world, what drove Him to suffer on that cross, to go through so much pain, so that we might have the same compassion He did. And He does. We've got to see sinners through the eyes of Christ. Ask Christ to show you that. But be ready. Because when He does, He'll create in us a burning zeal and desire and an ambition to tell everyone about Christ. Take them not out of the world. Keep them from the evil. Sanctify them through your truth. Because I'm sending them out. As you sent me. So I'm sending them. With the best and the most glorious message humankind has ever heard. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. As ambassadors for Christ, we beseech thee be ye reconciled to God. He made Him to be sin who was not sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. How shall they preach unless they be sent? God, give us a burden to be sent. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You, Lord God, that it sharpened the two-edged sword. Father, we pray that, God, You'd help us here in Burkitt to have a burning desire to evangelize. Help us to see and understand through the eyes of Christ the need for sinners to be saved. Lord, we pray that, God, You'd help us increase our burden. And, Lord, as You increase our burden, I pray that, Father, Lord, You'd give us hands and feet to go to work, to labor. Father, we love You and we thank You for all things. We pray for this county, for this community. We pray for those that are lost in sin. Lord, we pray that, God, You would just do a work of grace in our midst. We love You and thank You now for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. Thank you so much. If you